Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris. I just said that. And you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Okay, Southern California, welcome to the two-hour expanded edition today. I feel mellow, the void course Capricorn moon, the full moon that actually is still going on right now. Isn't it amazing to have a daytime full moon? Let's see. And also, of course, we can't see the moon. It won't rise yet for a while, but I would say, about 8 hours or so, we'll get the rising full moon, but it's peaking right now on the other side of the world, so the full moon is a lot more intense on the other side of the world. Today we're going to talk about personality definition. We're going to take a look at the first house, the rising sign, planets in the first house, how personality uniqueness is designed, how to understand the different personalities that develop in individuals, personality karma, and also compatibility concerning personality. So a real good topic concerning especially a lot of you split personalities out there. Well, this thing called personality is a pretty heavy topic because there's so much that goes into understanding a human personality. Frankly, if you ever tried to prove or understand how astrology works, then you'll do it by trying to understand and define the rising sign. That's really the way to do it. But when you analyze the rising sign or the rising house or planets in that house, or when you analyze aspects to the rising sign, or even the chart ruler, the controlling planet of the entire chart, you can just begin to touch the surface of focusing on understanding an individual's uniqueness. You know, the reason why I love astrology, because the possibilities are literally astronomical, depending exactly what sign is going to be on the horizon, on the eastern horizon from moment to moment, and how that eastern horizon is charged for the moment. Isn't it amazing? There are 360 different degrees in the zodiac, 12 separate signs, each having 30 degrees in each sign. And in a 24-hour day, that entire circle, all 12 signs, all 360 degrees of the zodiac will rise in the east. And that's why we call that the rising. It makes sense, doesn't it? But when you know, the rumor is, or the theory is, from best I can see, the eastern horizon is what is important because that is the direction in which the Earth is spinning very rapidly. Now, you got to believe that a planet this large that only takes 24 hours to make one complete spin, so we can see the whole universe, one full circle in 24 hours, we are moving. We are moving very quickly, okay? And that means that if you're up in space and you're watching this planet in 24-hour period, you're going to watch the Earth spin like a top, and it never slows down. it's spinning pretty rapid. Do you ever think about that? It's pretty darned incredible. I mean, the Earth has been spinning like that for millions and millions of years, and of course, it just blows my mind when I think about it, because it actually is the mechanics of God. If you think, here we are on this thing, on this ball, right? That's going zoo, 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 you know, just keeps spinning and spinning and spinning. And it's just incredible that it keeps going. It never stops. Now talk about an engine. Now, if you ever doubted that this planet was a living entity, don't doubt it, because we are pulsing, we are living, we are breathing, we are moving, we are turning. And that's really what is so fascinating about being on Earth. But, you know, as the Earth spins, whatever city you might be on at any particular point in the Earth, that eastern horizon keeps changing, and all the entire universe rises from the east. So it would make sense that beings and entities that would live on Earth and incarnate on this planet in order to land on this planet. See, the soul must approach Earth from beyond this realm. Once the soul pierces the realm, you know, I'm talking about the final definition of the soul on the human body, okay? Because, of course, I believe that at conception, the root or the foundation of the soul is planted. Whoever knows how much consciousness that soul has, I doubt very much, because the baby's not developed, so the vehicle is not developed enough, I believe, to be sensitive enough to have a communion with that soul. But the final communion with the soul is made at the moment of birth. when the baby finally comes out, you know, I don't believe that that the astral body ever enters the baby during the pregnancy period. I don't believe that. I mean, maybe somebody else can prove to me that the child opens its eyes, but we know the baby's not breathing, and we know that the baby is not going through a normal digestive pattern while it's in the womb. You know, the mother's digesting the food for the child still and processing the waste, and the mother's breathing for the baby and eating for the baby. So the baby is still a codependent. You know, it lives off of a host, the mother, you know. So basically it is the consciousness of the mother that is actually fueling that child and keeping it alive, right? Because the sum total of consciousness which links the multidimensional mind that allows that child to be manifest in this dimension does not make its final entry or its final imprint until that moment of birth. For whatever reason, whether it's cesarean, whether it's a twin birth or a triplet birth, when that baby comes out of the womb, And when the doctors are reviving that child, or when it opens its eyes, that astral body is streaking from beyond this realm and piercing the cosmos from the eastern horizon, because that's the way the earth is spinning. It's finding that city where the baby is. Of course, it's anchored to the baby in the city. So it's that final imprint, that final astral soul it's like whipped to the baby from beyond this realm. It's like someone has a long cable, and all of a sudden at the speed of light, at 50,000 times the speed of light, that cable is yanked, and that astral body comes piercing through the realm and into the baby from the east. And that is why the rising sign in the east, the direction the earth is spinning, is so important, because that is the imprint of the baby's personality, the baby's character. The rising sign is the single number one most important part in any chart. And if you want to understand so many things about an individual, things like childhood matters, things like what happened in the childhood, things like what the person's going to look like. Are they going to be tall? Will they be short? Will they be fat or thin? Will they have a nice complexion? Or will they have a sensitive skin on their face or their body? You know, it makes you wonder when you think about what is going on, okay? What is happening as far as how this being is going to express itself? You know, the final vehicle imprint of the being expressing itself is all concerned with the rising sign, okay? And frankly, I really do believe that if you understand the rising sign and its emphasis, and if you start to understand some of the early influences, see, like I believe that as you gain consciousness as a human being, a baby actually walks through its own 12 houses in its chart. You know, if you think about it, the first thing you discover is the self as a baby, you know, and then you start getting things like toys or like little bunnies or like a bed or whatever. The baby already has property when it's immediately born. So the values are established right away. What's important, you know, and then learning to communicate and learning how to function and learning how to be logical and practical are all part and parcel. So the baby actually takes a path through those 12 houses of life until it finally grows and gains consciousness and actually can develop itself and its personality. But anyway, when we take, you know, the rising sign is a very fascinating part of the astrology chart for me, because when I get to know someone, or if I'm analyzing a client, or if I want to understand why someone's metabolism is fast, or why some people can offer so many different kind of personalities, why some people are extremely talkative, why some people are so left brain or right brain, or why somebody ended up being insecure or sensitive. You know, you can really find out so much about the individual in that first house, in that rising house. See, when you're looking at an astrology chart, if you're looking at your astroscope, for example, what you're looking at is the wheel, that 360-degree wheel I was talking about at the beginning of the show. And the left side of that wheel, the far left edge of that circle, right in the middle of it, you know, right where the end of the asterisks are, you can circle that part. That is your rising sign. That's your rising degree. And that's a very, very important part of the chart, because I think understanding your rising degree and your first house activities and the personality and the character development, the childhood and the environment of that being can almost explain most of what is going on in that chart. So if there's one thing you want to focus on when you're understanding yourself astrologically, it is that rising degree and that rising sign when you were born, also called the ascendant. And all of you have a paragraph in your astroscope that says the ascendant, and that'll describe to you what it means to have a particular rising. There are 12 possible risings, but in each rising sign, there are 30 distinct characters, which means that even if you're a twin, if you're born 2 or even 3 minutes apart from your twin brother or sister, then he might be a 16 Virgo rising, whereas you might be a 17 Virgo rising. And believe it or not, there's a big difference between 16 and 17 Virgo. See, so those two twins are going to have different personalities because they were born just 2 or even 3 minutes apart to catch those different rising signs. Once in a while, you'll get twins that are revived around the same moment. And then, you know, both of their astral bodies are whipped into their conscious bodies at the same time. So they will get the same personality degree. I saw some women in their 60s that were twins, and they look so identical. Here they are, like, almost 70. They still dress alike. They keep their hair the same. They walk the same. They talk the same. They're like the same person. I kind of tend to think that they were born pretty much around the same moment. But you know, it's when that baby opens its eyes and when the astral body makes its final imprint, its signature on the human body, that there is a definite charge. There's a definite astrological charge that affects the body that even Carl Sagan has yet to be able to figure out. You know, Carl Sagan's out there. He's that astrologer, that astronomer, which I respect. But he keeps trying to disprove astrology works because he's trying to say that there's no way we're affected by the planets on Earth beyond, you know, because Earth gravity will dwarf the effect that exists from the planets in space. Of course, you know, I never like to create any bottom lines because you have no idea cosmically what kind of effect they are making on us unless you study it and try to use yourself as a burden of proof. See, what he doesn't know is that all of the planets have cosmic centers, consciousness centers in them, chakras, just like we do, and that these planets in this system are living entities. They are beings, okay? Everything you see in space is alive. It's another form of life. It dwarfs whatever we know. Would you be surprised to note that stars have consciousness? That they can even reason? That they have power? That they can communicate with each other? Could you consider that? I mean, they are living, breathing entities. Just because we have carbon-based life, I mean, where do you think this life comes from? It comes from the sun. It comes from the star. So there's all types of consciousness that exist in the universe that we should never, ever try to limit ourselves. And that's why being born on a planet, you receive a cosmic imprint from where the planets are located in space at birth, okay? And that imprint is defined by analyzing that moment. And that's why we cast an astrology chart. We cast a navigational chart locating the planets at birth, defining the rising sign, and trying to interpret what is going on, as far as how we understand uniqueness. See, like, we live in a dimension. The third dimension was designed to be a dimension where the God force can separate itself, divide itself, and express itself in such a way that it thinks it's an individual. It's separate from the whole. And there's only one logical way to design this separation, and that is to create this magnificent realm, the third dimension in which we live, that has so much diversity as far as living in an ocean of magnetism, an ocean of cosmic gravitation everywhere, that it is easy to design separation and uniqueness because of the waves, because of the energy patterns that exist. This uniqueness, this separation abounds everywhere. So a child or an entity born on this planet is given a shape and a size and a color and a differentiation that is one of a kind. Okay, and that's why each and every one of us, as we are born, we absorb this electromagnetic cosmic radiation from outer space. The moment we are born, we are given that personality imprint from our rising sign, and that really is what defines personality. You know, helping to love yourself and helping to raise your own self-esteem and your own feelings of self-worth can be so much fun when you study astrology, because by studying astrology, it's like going on an adventure of getting to know yourself. You know, so many of us, even, you know, when you look in the mirror, you are looking at a reversed image. You're not even looking at what people see. You know, wouldn't it be something if somebody invented a mirror that was a reversed image mirror so we could finally see ourselves the way others see ourselves? Instead of seeing the image reversed or the opposite way, we're not really seeing ourselves the way other people see us, you know. So many of us are constantly seeking truth as far as image and self-realization is concerned. And astrology is such a wonderful adventure because as you study things like the first house and the ascendant, and you start understanding things like your childhood, your personality, and your early environment, then you start to get to know yourself. And sometimes you don't like what you see. But in order to like what you have and to embrace whatever it is that you do have, in order to check that self-esteem and be a happier, more loving, caring, supportive being and more balanced in relationships, you know, you just have to take that quest. Embrace that quest of getting to know yourself and check it out. You know, like knowing what your rising sign is, knowing that you are, in fact, a Taurus rising is a beginning to help you understand that people are going to see you with everything that embodies the Taurian energy, the Taurian force. I don't care if you're a Virgo or a Pisces or a Leo. If you find out you're Taurus rising, then it's time for you to study what Taurus means. You know, astrology is a science of symbology and combinations. Okay, so we just take the key word personality and we combine that with the energy which embraces the force of Taurus, okay, and by doing that we are able literally to understand our personality. Now Taurus is a material sign. It's an examination sign. It's a touchy feely sign. It's a sign that defines substance. Okay, so when you look at when you're with a Taurus rising, right away they are going to be somebody who is interested in substance, hugging, shaking hands, body contact, because Taurus rules love, nurturing, pampering, individual, sensitive, and because Taurus is a material sign, they oftentimes wear jewelry, rings, necklaces, bracelets, glasses, hats, whatever. And Taurus is an earth sign, so the person will appear earthy, maybe more of an earth-type person or earth mother or whatever. But, you know, you can actually define character and personality by understanding the rising sign. See, I'm Libra rising, which is very different than Taurus, because Libra is a lot more fair and a lot more less interested in substance. What we're interested in is balance, you know. So we might not be dressed up, but at least what we're wearing is going to be almost a uniform or regimental as far as what our wardrobe is. And, you know, whereas Taurus might be more absorbing and more grounded, Libra would be a little bit more flighty and a little bit more mental, I would think, or more airy, more bright and chipper, you know, more free-flowing, I would think. See, so you can actually define personality by knowing what sign is rising in your chart. That's why when we ask you to send for a chart, we have to use trigonometry and calculus in our computers to exactly figure out astronomically what rising you have at birth, depending on the city and the country you were born in and the time of birth. And that's why time within 4 minutes is critical to get this very important personality trait. There's a lot that goes into this. There's a whole lot that goes into this. Because if you're born with, let's say, Capricorn rising, and planets in Capricorn are just about to rise. In other words, you have Capricorn rising at, let's say, 0 degrees, and if you're a baby born now, you'd be born with Saturn and Uranus and Neptune in Capricorn just below the horizon. They're not yet visible even by a telescope. Well, that's important because planets, if you're born with planets just before they rise, then those planets are locked in your first house. And that adds focus. That also adds intensity, and it also adds uniqueness to your childhood, your character, your environment, and understanding yourself karmically speaking. It makes it sometimes that much more difficult to have that relationship with yourself and to embrace that with what you are. You know, when I was born with Libra rising at 20, and you know, I was born minutes before moonrise. That's right. So I was lucky enough to get the moon trapped in my first house, which really threw a hammer in the fan, so to speak, because the most sensitive, vulnerable part of the chart next to the rising sign is the moon. So there's a tremendous focus on sensitivity, emotionally accepting myself and my situation as a child by having that moon in my first house. You know, we're always combining things in astrology and knowing what the moon means. See, like, moon means emotions. It embellishes Cancerian vibration. Rising is personality, which is the Aries vibration, and also, basic character and such as that. So we can take a look at Farley's personality and combine it with the meaning of Libra, which is what sign was rising, right? The fact my moon is in Scorpio, okay, so we combine that energy. The fact that the first house is the Aries house energy, so it's how we express ourselves. So we always combine Aries with first house energy. And the moon is Lord of Cancer. It rules emotions. So my personality is a combination of sensitive Cancerian energy from the moon being there in the first house, the Aries force, which is what normally attaches it to first house meaning, the Libra force, because that's what's rising, the Scorpio first, because that's included in my first house, plus the moon is in the sign of Scorpio. So depending on Farley's day, I may come across as a Libra, Scorpio, Aries, or Cancer. And because my first house moon is squaring four Leo planets, Pluto, Sun, Mercury, and Saturn all in Leo, then gosh, I could be a split personality, a multiple personality. But many of us have that. You know, many of us have more than one planet in the first house. Many of us have sometimes four or five. Okay, many of us have all kinds of things going on to that rising sign. See, because the rising sign is so important, what we do is we affix a certain vibration to that rising energy, which means that rising energy at the moment you are born may not be compatible to any other planet in your chart. You might catch some squares or oppositions from planets in the sky at that moment that are not compatible to your rising degree. And if you get some squares and oppositions on your rising degree or on planets that are located in that first house of character, then it's going to make it that much more karmic to get to know and to get to love and to get to center and ground that being which we call you. Now, you know, when you start thinking about this, this is a topic I could talk about for weeks. You know, because it starts to dwarf the imagination, the possibilities. Because not only are we trying to get along with who and what we are, but then we're trying to combine our own personalities and rising signs compatibly with other people. No wonder relationships are so difficult. We're having a hard enough time trying to get to know ourselves, and then all of a sudden somebody else enters the scene, and we have to try to understand and embrace what they are personality-wise, which is not often easy. That's why we have a lot of personality differences on this planet, and personality differences especially in close relationships. Can you imagine having major stress between your first house planets and your rising sign and some planets in your dad's chart, squaring them or even opposing them? Like, his Saturn is oppose your ascendant, his moon is square your ascendant, and his Mars is square the Venus in your first house. Give me a break. He may never be able to accept you as a being. There could be a problem there with him being upset about who and what and the way you are and the way you come across. On the other hand, if there's a personality meld, if there's a complement, maybe somebody you know and love has trines or sextiles to planets in your first house, then somewhere, some way, they should be able to accept you for what you are, even if you come across as a jerk. That's right. Even as you could come across at your worst, and the person will be able to say, I'll just slough it off. That's the way they are. If you can handle someone, it's because your personality melds with them, and your charts are compatible, personality speaking. And if you don't meld with someone, you'll know it. There's something about you that rubs them the wrong way. Well, I may do a part two on this topic tomorrow on personality definition. You know, it's so funny. Would you believe that people listen to this show day in and day out, and some of them have been doing it for years, and you would laugh to know that there are thousands of people out there that just haven't got their charts yet. You know, when I got into this stuff, I was so gung-ho about it. I couldn't wait. You know, something about Farley Malaris is so impatient. That's why I guess in relationships sometimes I can be tough, because my patience can be tested. But same thing with astrology. you know, when I decided I wanted to get my chart, I was like, I was on fire until I got it, you know. And when you hear topics like this about rising sign, people listen to the show and they go, oh, that's okay. You say to yourself, aren't they interested as to what their rising sign is after he made this lecture? This show, really, I think, more than anything else, is a really good visual class on astrology and metaphysics. Sometimes I show ego and arrogance, and sometimes I make mistakes, and sometimes I'm not an expert. I'm not saying I'm a know-it-all, although some things some people might say bother me. I do the best I can. I'm just human.